Mentor Gold, and I will be with thee.
But if I say to your children that the god of their fathers has sent me, they will ask, what is his name? And how shall I answer them?
I am that I am. Thou shalt say, I am hath sent me unto you.
When Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, there was a whole lot more going on than just a simple metaphor. The crowd that he was speaking with immediately would have gone to this conversation between Moses and God in the burning bush. That's where Moses says, well, what is your name, God? And he says, I am that I am. The closest we can come in English is if we transliterate it, it means Yahweh. But that name, both to the Israelites and also to the Jews of Jesus' day, they would never, ever speak the name of God. Instead, they would just simply say, the Lord. They would never say, Yahweh. And here you have Jesus. He says, I am Yahweh. I am the good shepherd. People didn't know what to do when Jesus made statements like that. You may recall when they came to arrest Jesus in the garden. The guards come up, and Jesus says, who is it that you're looking for? They say, Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus says, I am he. Scripture says that they draw back and fall to the ground because they're in the presence of the great I am. They're in the presence of God. So there's a whole lot more going on when Jesus has an I am statement than just a simple metaphor. We're in the second week. Last week we looked at when Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. God is the resurrection and the life. And now we move on to I am the good shepherd. It's probably one of the most comforting metaphors in all of Scripture, of thinking of God as our shepherd and we are the sheep of his flock. It immediately takes me back to Psalm 23, which is one of the most beloved psalms in the whole Bible, probably. I'm guessing that most everybody knows that and has turned to it on numerous occasions. There's a couple things we need to note before we begin here, and that is Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. He doesn't say, I am a good shepherd, which would imply there are other good shepherds out there. No, what he's saying is there is only one good and perfect shepherd. I am the good shepherd. Second thing is, if Jesus is the shepherd, y'all know what that makes us, right? That makes us sheep. I don't know if I mentioned this before, but in my high school days, my best friend had a small flock of sheep. And before he and I could go out and have any fun, we'd have to do the chores. So, of course, I would help him do those chores on many occasions so we could get out of there. I learned more about sheep than I really care to know. Suffice it to say this. All of those pretty pictures in Sunday school of the shepherd and his sheep were ruined on that farm, as I found out. They're not fluffy white little lambs prancing around. They're unintelligent, smelly, stinky, dirty sheep. So if Jesus is the shepherd, we're the sheep. We're the sheep. Now, there's some things that we know about sheep. And if we look at the things that we know about sheep, that also tells us things about us as well. So first of all, what do we know about sheep? We know that sheep wander. They do. Sheep will just wander off. They're just not that bright. They're not that smart. You lead them out to the pasture, and they just sort of go from blade of grass to blade of grass to blade of grass, and all of a sudden they look up and go, huh, they have no idea where they're at. And they also do another strange thing, and that is sheep will all of a sudden, for no particular reason that I could figure out, would just look up, would see something in the distance. I couldn't see anything, and they'd just start lumbering over to it, right? And then, of course, not aware of their surroundings, not a care in the world as far as any danger that may be around there. Sheep just wander. That's why the people understood when Jesus told the story about the shepherd who left the 99 behind to go get the one. That's because the rascal wandered off, got himself lost, because that's what sheep do. Sheep wander. The prophet Isaiah says this. He says, we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each one has turned to his own way. We're sheep. We wander. We go our own way. We do our own thing. Ever since the beginning of time with Adam and Eve, there was God's way, but they decided God's way wasn't the right way. They were going to go off and do their own thing. They were going to do it their way. So they wandered away from God, and they ate the forbidden fruit. And ever since that time, you and I do the same thing. We wander away. If we see something that looks desirable, we'll go after it. If we see something that we think will make us happy, we'll go after it. No regard for our safety, no regard for a spiritual life, no regard for what God has to say. We see something, we want it, and we just sort of aimlessly wander away. And all of a sudden we look up and wonder why our life is in a shambles. Because we've wandered away from God. We're sheep. Sheep wander. Second thing we know about sheep is sheep are stubborn. They are a stubborn, stubborn animal. You cannot rustle up and sort of herd sheep. It doesn't work, right? You can't drive sheep. It won't. You have to be in front of them. You have to lead them. If you try and move a sheep, it's not going anywhere. You can get behind it, because I know, because I've tried, and try and push the sheep where you want it to go. It is an immovable object. They are stubborn. If you put them out on a meadow, and if you don't take them to another meadow, they will eat it down to where it's just ground. It's just dirt, because they won't move. They'll just keep eating and eating and eating. They're stubborn. If a sheep tries to go through a too narrow of a passage and get stuck, it will not back up. It won't. It won't back up. It'll either keep charging ahead, or I guess it just stands there and waits till it loses weight so it can go through. I don't know, but it's not backing up. Sheep are stubborn. We are sheep. I don't know exactly where to go with that. We all know that we're stubborn. How many times in the Old Testament did God call his people a stiff-necked people? In other words, they were hard-headed. They were stubborn. We as human beings, we get something in our head and we're immovable. If we think that's the right thing to do, we'll keep charging ahead no matter what the risks are, because we're stubborn. We're sheep. Third and last thing about sheep. Sheep are defenseless. I don't know if you ever thought of that before. I hadn't. Sheep are completely defenseless. They don't have any claws. They don't have any menacing teeth. They don't have any horns on top of their head, which they could defend themselves with. They are completely and utterly defenseless creatures. The most they can do is look pathetic and hope that the animal takes pity on them. That's all they can do. They're completely defenseless. We're sheep. If we're sheep, that means we're defenseless. It brings all new meaning to what Peter wrote. When Peter said this in his first letter, he said, "Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour." Lion versus sheep. Guess who wins? We are defenseless. On our own, we don't stand a chance. Our enemy, the devil, is like a lion prowling around, ready to pounce on us, and we, by ourselves, are completely defenseless. We're going to get eaten alive by that because we're sheep and we're defenseless. Now, I really don't like being called a sheep, but I have to admit that it's true. But the good news is we have a shepherd. We don't just have a shepherd, we have the shepherd. We have the good shepherd. And so there are things that we know about good shepherds, shepherds who know how to take care of their flock. And so if we continue going with the analogy, the things that we know about a good shepherd, then we also know about our shepherd, Jesus. So for instance, a good shepherd guides his flock. You can't drive sheep. You have to be out in front of them. You have to gain their trust, and then they will follow you. And then you guide them. You guide them to the right places. So if we take a look at Psalm 23, what does it say about the good shepherd? It says, "He guides me along the right path for his name's sake." So the good shepherd takes you along the right path, out of danger's way. the way that you should go, the best way. Our good shepherd leads and guides us. Psalm 119 says that your word, God, is a lamp to my feet. Our good shepherd has given us his word. And his word is our guide. It is the light. It is the way we should go. He gives us guidance and direction. When we have life's questions, when we have decisions to make, we should look to the shepherd. And what does the shepherd say? And where would the shepherd lead? And then we should listen to his voice. Jesus said this. He says about the shepherd. He says, he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Now, I remember my friend Steve, he named all of his sheep. How he could tell the difference, I don't know. They all look like dirty, smelly sheep to me. They all looked alike. But he knew them individually. And it wasn't a real small flock. I mean, there's a couple dozen there. And he had a name for each and every one of them. And they knew his voice. I could call their name till I was blue in the face. They wouldn't respond. They wouldn't even look up. But if Steve called them by name, what? Because they knew their shepherd. And they knew his voice. And that he could lead them out of the barn. He could lead them to the pasture. I couldn't do it, but he could. Jesus says that he is the good shepherd. And he says that he calls us by name. He did so in the waters of baptism. He called you by name, claimed you to be his own. And my friends, the more that we read his word, the more that we will recognize his voice. The more we listen to what he has to say, the more we know his voice and his leading as a good shepherd as he guides us through life. Second thing we know about good shepherds, they provide for their flock. So our good shepherd, he provides for us. Take a look at Psalm 23. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The NIV says, I lack nothing. I will not be in want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. Interesting thing that I read about sheep. Sheep will not lie down if they're still hungry. I don't know why, but they will stay standing if they haven't had enough to eat. The good shepherd takes them into a green pasture, makes sure that they've had their fill, and now they can lay down and rest. Sheep will not drink from fast-running water. They simply won't. I don't know if it's because they're afraid they'll fall in and poof, like a cotton ball and float down the river. I don't know. But they won't drink from fast-moving water. There's stories where shepherds will actually come up and they'll dam up the river to stop it so that they'll drink water. The good shepherd, he takes the flock by still waters so that they will drink and have their fill. God has promised to take care of all of our needs. Not all of our wants, but all of our needs. That's why Jesus tells us, don't worry about food, don't worry about clothing. Your Father in heaven knows that you need them. Our God has promised to take care of our needs. And then the psalmist, David, he says, he restoreth my soul. He restores my soul. So God not only sees to our physical needs, but he touches us in the deepest way possible. And he refreshes our soul. He restores our inner being. He's the good shepherd. He provides for us. Last thing that we know about shepherds, they protect their flock. He protects us. Take a look at Psalm 23 again, verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. A good shepherd protects his flock because he knows that his flock is defenseless. So he has two things at his disposal. He has his staff, which has a crook on the end of it, which means he can reach down and pull his sheep to safety. He's got a rod, or in other words, a stick that he can beat off enemies and beat off predators that try and steal the sheep away from them. He defends his flock. Our good shepherd defends us against the enemy, and he fights off the enemy for us. In fact, he even lays down his life for us. Jesus said of the good shepherd, he said, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. He's willing to sacrifice himself to keep his sheep safe. So it was a week ago Friday, it was Good Friday, that we saw our good shepherd go toe-to-toe with our enemy. He went toe-to-toe on the cross, defending and fighting for us. The innocent one taking on our guilt. Every accusation that the enemy has against us were all assailed to Jesus. And he died in our place. But it was just a week ago today that we celebrated Easter and the resurrection as Jesus comes forth from the grave, conquering not only sin, conquering not only death, but conquering the devil himself. He has defeated our enemy once and for all. He is the good shepherd who protects us, who watches out for us. Jesus is the good shepherd. He guides us, he provides for us, and he protects us. As much as I really don't like being called a sheep, if Jesus is the shepherd, I'll gladly be a sheep. Amen. Would you stand and pray with me? Lord Jesus, we thank you for coming down from heaven and being our good shepherd. We thank you that you have guided us and led us, that you provide for us and that you protect us. And I just pray that through the workings of your Holy Spirit, that we, your sheep, would see you as our shepherd and we would go wherever you lead. In your name we pray. Amen.